you love America, you're among friends here. Conservative Nation.
For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. Senator Marco Rubio is advising Americans to document their struggles with signing up for insurance plans under Obamacare. In a statement today, the Florida Republican cautioned customers who have had trouble with healthcare.gov that they should create a record of their experience for when the IRS comes calling next year. The law requires Americans who can afford to purchase health insurance to do so or else pay a fine on their taxes starting in 2014. Many are concerned, however, that if the federal website does not improve, they'll be blocked from enrolling in a plan and will therefore be subject to the tax penalty. The White House, meanwhile, says it has hired a team of web experts to get the site running smoothly.
These are additional contractors as well as a few experts who are part of the Presidential Innovation Fellows Program, which was started by the President in his first term, and it pairs top innovators from the private sector, nonprofits, and academia with top innovators within government.
Spokesman Jay Carney. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
Welcome to a Just Cause Coast to Coast. I'm Sam Furman, your host, here along with my co-hosts Cliff Stewart and Ethel Lopez, where we bring you information, education, and awareness about judicial injustice. How are you guys doing tonight?
Hey, doing good, Sam. Doing good. Excited to be here.
Doing great. Thanks so much, guys.
So we're broadcasting remote from the West Coast today, and so we got a big lineup for you. On the show tonight, we'll be bringing him on a little bit in a few minutes. Is Anthony Graves. Mr. Graves is an exoneree out of Texas. He's been, I think he was exonerated about 3 years ago, and he's coming up on his third anniversary. He is the 12th death row exoneree out of Texas. That's a serious number, guys.
Absolutely. I mean, when you look at, you have this many people on death row, and then you say, well, they've been exonerated. Well, let's deal with the fact of, how do you get a man put on death row in the first place, and why does it take so long to get him exonerated when the bottom line is that you know that these prosecutors are going after him for no reason?
Exactly.
I mean, when you have a DNA overturn, you know this man was not guilty.
That's right, and not only that, you know what? I'm just excited to hear about what he went through during this time, you know, up to death row, and then you're exonerated. That's got to be mind-boggling. That's got to be something crazy to deal with, you know, just thinking about it.
And, you know, Mr. Graves, he's going to be with us for the entire show. We got a little bit of business we're going to take care of first before we bring him on the air. Always have to throw out that disclaimer, Cliff. You know, Cliff and I are not attorneys, and a Just Cause Coast to Coast is not a program that provides legal advice. Like I said before, we are about education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. We want to bring light to the situations and the problems that are out there, and the opinions expressed by the callers into the show are not necessarily those of A Just Cause Coast to Coast or ConservativeNationMedia.com, so please contact your legal professionals for your specific legal needs. But again, we want to thank you for joining in on the show. So some folks may say, well, what are they doing on the West Coast? Well, you know, we had an opportunity to visit with Mother Love this week, and we were on the Mother Love show on L.A. Talk. Had a great time with her. A shout-out to her. We met with Tony Breedlove also today, and shout-out to Tony. So these are supporters of A Just Cause Coast to Coast, also supporters of the IRP 6. So, Cliff, where are we right now with the IRP 6 case as far as, I know, you know, last week we talked about the 200 pages missing. I believe the attorneys filed a writ of mandamus, so let's talk about that a little bit.
Absolutely. We got the writ of mandamus filed by the appellate attorney. You know, that was sent out, and wouldn't you know that the Denver courts up in Denver said, well, that's something that's already being dealt with. We're not going to deal with it. We're going to wait for it to be to come back on appeal. And, you know, we want to deal with the fact that, like, in this state, like in Colorado, the appellate court does not have any stated definitive time that they have a deadline to come back with your appeal. So we're looking at the IRP 6 have been in prison for 14 months, and the appellate court has not responded to all of their issues on appeal, and ironically, one of the issues on appeal was a violation of the Speedy Trial Act. So not only did you violate my Speedy Trial Act, but now you got me sitting in prison for 14 months and dealing and waiting for you to come back with an answer. That is ridiculous.
And that's what they want to do. They want to make you wait as long as they can possibly make you wait to sit there and just deal with them when they are ready to come back and answer you. But you know what? They're going to have to answer pretty soon.
And, you know, for the listeners, you know, we have some listeners who have been following the IRP case, and, you know, we may have some new listeners out there. So for the new listeners, let's just kind of bring them up to speed as to what the IRP 6 case is about, you know, what is a just cause about. So I'll kind of jump in there. As far as the IRP 6 case, that's a case involving six IT professionals who had a startup company. The company was called IRP Solutions Corporation. They had great opportunities with the Department of Homeland Security, NYPD, Philadelphia Police Department, and lo and behold, in 2005, the business was raided by the FBI. Now, you can go out to a couple of different websites and follow us as we talk about it. One website is our website at www.a-justcause.com. Again, www.a-justcause.com. Also, you can go to www.freetheirp6.org, freetheirp6.org. And as we move along, and if you'd like to call into the program, you can call in to 718-305-7176. Again, that's 718-305-7176. And this is the Just Cause Coast to Coast. I'm Sam Thurman, your host. Okay, so let's talk again a little bit about the IRP case. Okay, so they were developing this software, Cliff, and it's called the Case Investigative Lifecycle Software. The acronym is SILC. So, you know, the company started in, what, 2003?
Right, in 2003, the company was started by Gary Walker, David Banks, Clinton Stewart, Demetrius Harper, Ken Barnes, and David Serpolo, who are affectionately known as the IRP 6. And so they started out, you know, to create software to help law enforcement. And this software, you know, was seen to be the best in the business, best in class, and IRP Solutions ends up getting contacted by Department of Homeland Security to talk to them about what the SILC software actually could do. And during that time, you know, IRP Solutions got into debt working with staffing companies, and the FBI came after them for the debt to these staffing companies. You ask, well, how can that be? That is the question that we've been asking. That is the answer that we're searching for. How do you get indicted, convicted, and thrown in prison for 7 to 11 years for debt, corporate debt, contract signed, corporate debt? How does that happen? A Just Cause is trying to get that question answered for you.
And, you know, Cliff, there's some strange situations that surround this case, even with how it came about. You know, there was a search warrant, and, again, wanting to bring up up to speed the new listeners to the show, there was a search warrant that was gotten under false pretenses. You have an FBI agent, John Smith, who got a judge to sign off on a warrant stating that for all practical purposes, IRP was a front company, that they were not a legitimate company, that they were not did not have a viable product. But, you know, Cliff, there were retired federal agents that were working at IRP who basically, you know, put the kibosh to that theory as far as, you know, IRP not being a legitimate company. You had a retired federal agent by the name of Gary Hilberry who provided a sworn affidavit stating that he and two other federal agents were working at IRP and that IRP had a viable product.
And when you look at it, these agents came forward with this information. This was prior to a raid. This was prior to anything going on. And who did they come forward to this information with? To John Smith, the special agent in charge at the FBI, who pulled the raid off, who wrote an affidavit to a federal judge saying, I want to raid this company because they're pretty much a front company. They claim they have software, but, you know, they really don't. We want to go after them. You're talking about a month prior to that, Agent Hilberry signed a sworn affidavit to John Smith saying, no, they have a product. their product is viable for federal, state, and local government. I'm working here without being paid now because I'm looking at how good this software is. I know that once it gets sales, it's going to be monetarily tangible for me to stay on board. And they decide to stay on board, but John Smith still goes out and comes up with this bogus search warrant on we need to raid IRP solutions.
And, you know, Cliff, the other thing, too, is the fact that there was a lot of money on the table with regard to the IRP solutions product. And they were in the process, they had just provided the Department of Homeland Security with a $100 million estimate and for one module of the software, and it was something that they really needed.
Sounds like to me that was John Smith's motive right there.
Right, and when you look at this software, that was one module, Sam, and you look at a piece of software that has 18 modules. So, you know, give or take, same amount of money. You're looking at, I mean, same amount per module. You're looking at somewhere between $1 and $2 billion for a single full implementation at a you know, at a place like DHS for software like this. And how do you say, okay, this company is purportedly getting you know, have a software product? No, they had software, sent in a quote to DHS, and the FBI agents, the federal agents that were working as subject matter experts had already validated that the software existed, and yet they still came after IRP solutions.
So the fact of the matter is there are a lot of holes in this case, and there are a lot of things that are currently under appeal that we will again, bring you a little bit up speed on that. And then in a few minutes, we're going to be bringing on Mr. Anthony Graves. He is an exoneree out of Texas, and he's been out now for 3 years. And so you're listening to A Just Cause Coast to Coast. I'm Sam Thurman, your host, along with my co-host Cliff Stewart and Ethel Lopez. And we'll be right back in just one moment.
ConservativeNationMedia.com starts off the work week every Monday in a big way. It's Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. But even if you're not from the volunteer state, the issues that affect Tennessee are spreading out all over America. Dave Vance brings his veterans insight and the most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Monday, so make sure to check him out. Brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. Inside Tennessee, Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins.
Hey, thanks, Cliff. You're tuned to A Just Cause Coast to Coast. I'm Sam Thurman, your host, Cliff Stewart and Ethel Lopez. We're bringing our audience up to speed on the IRP 6 case, and where we bring you educational awareness and information about judicial injustice. So, Cliff, as far as the 200 pages goes, you know, that's one of the things that came up during trial, and that's one of the things that's part of the appeal for the IRP 6. So where do we stand right now? I know we, as a Just Cause, we put out a press release. As of this morning, that press release has over 150,000 impressions. We put out a press release about the writ of mandamus. That is now quickly approaching 100,000. So what's next as far as that goes?
Well, we want to look at, you know, dealing with the fact that this lawsuit against the court reporter, Darlene Martinez, is moving forward. We got attorney Mark Garagos out of L.A. and company. He is on this, and he's looking at it and saying, hey, you know, I'm seeing the same type of issues. I'm going to go after this with everything it's worth and ensure that this court reporter, her feet are held to the fire. You know, when we originally started with this, we said, look, we need to find out who it is who has jurisdiction over this court reporter. Who can tell us, you know, or who can tell her she has to present these 200 missing pages of transcript? We went here, we went there, we ended up back at the U.S. Attorney's Office in Denver. U.S. Attorney's Office tells us, no, that's not under our jurisdiction. There's nothing we can do. Why don't you guys just sue her? Sue her in civil court. Tell her, you know, she breached her contract. She didn't give you what she promised for the money you paid, because a Just Cause paid about $10,000 for the entire transcript. She didn't deliver it, so we took their advice. We sued her. Who comes to her rescue but the U.S. Attorney's Office up in Denver, Colorado? And we're asking you, hey, Mr. Don Walton. what's going on up here in your office.
When we return, Mr. Anthony Graves, exoneree out of Texas. This is the Just Cause Coast to Coast, education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice.
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You gotta try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people like you. Sign up today at teapartycommunity.com.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed... could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Happy holidays, everybody. This is Brad Paisley for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. When you're traveling during the holidays and see somebody who's had too much to drink about to get behind the wheel, well, get those keys and save a life. When you celebrate, designate. Choose a designated driver.
Public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
$80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
A Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. I'm Sam Thurman, your host, along with Cliff Stewart and Ethel Lopez. And tonight, we have a special night. You know, we started a segment called the Exoneree Moment, and last week we focused on Herman Wallace, one of the Angola Three. Tonight, we have Anthony Graves, and he's an exoneree out of Texas. Mr. Graves, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing fine, sir. How are you?
We are doing great, doing great. Thanks for being on the show tonight.
Oh, it's an honor, man, to be on your show and able to sort of share my story.
Yeah, and so, you know, we understand that you were released about 3 years ago, October 27th, I believe, is the anniversary of your release. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So share a little bit of your story with us as far as you know, there were some folks that helped you as far as your exoneration is concerned and how this whole thing came about.
Well, man, my story, to give you a synopsis, I was convicted back in 1992 of a horrible, horrible crime, and it involved six people. Their bodies were—they were shot, stabbed, bludgeoned to death. Man, house set on fire. It was a horrible crime, and it was in a small rural Texas town. And so they want—you know—the town was outraged, mostly white, and they wanted some justice, man. And it just happened that a guy showed up in bandages, and he became a person of interest. He turned out to be the father of one of the children, and they interrogated this young man for over 14 hours, man, refused to feed him or anything, and just told him that they didn't think he did it by himself. And they gave him a name of someone who did it with him. And according to him, he said he had just thought he had seen me in passing as he was going to the DPS office with the officer in a Jeep vehicle with other guys. And so not really knowing me, but knew my name, and they kept pressing him for someone else. He said he just called my name randomly because he thought he had just seen me. And they asked him for a story, and he gave them like 7 stories at night until they got one that fitted what they wanted, what their theory was. And then the next morning, without any investigation, they arrested me, charged me with capital murder, and began to try to kill me.
When you say they begin to try and kill you, what do you mean by that?
Well, I'm an innocent man, and the state sentenced me to death. You can only begin to try to kill me. You know, there's no justification for taking an innocent man's life. You know, you're killing him. It's the same murder that you try to prosecute others for on the street. So, you know, it's no different from, you know, what they lock other people up for. It's just that it's a big state, and who prosecutes them? You know, they're the big machine. But that's what they did in my life, man. It took me 18 and a half years, man, and there was a lady who came from the Innocent Project of Innocent Network here in Houston. And her and some students, man, they got together, man, and they did some investigation into my case, and they drew their conclusion. Then about a year or two later, they came to visit me. I didn't even know that they was, you know, was looking into my case. And so when they came there, they wanted to ask me if I had anything to tell them. And the first thing I said to them was that I'm not going to sit here and try to convince you of my innocence. And that if you are really going to do the work, then you're going to draw the same conclusion that the facts draw is that I'm innocent. And they said, well, hey, we already believe you're innocent. We've been into your case for like 2 years now. And so that was a big burden and a relief for my shoulders because, you know, for some reason, society has this idea that every man behind bars who claim he's innocent is just his battle cry. But when in actuality, you have a lot of innocent men behind bars,
and when a man is
telling you that he's innocent, you should pay attention.
And you know, that's one of the things that we have come to realize, and with a just cause. And I don't know if you know much about a just cause, but you know, you heard us talking about the IRP6 at the top of the show. And the IRP6 are 6 men that were wrongly convicted and are currently incarcerated. And you know, this situation, we often say that, and as in your own case as well, you know, often I think people are naive to the fact that this can happen to innocent people. And I'm sure you are probably naive to it as well. You think that, you know, you grow up doing things according to the law, and you are told, you know, to obey the laws. But then when the laws work against you and you see that people are working against you, then you say, okay, the system isn't all cracked up to be what I thought it would be because, you know, people tend to do their own things. Now, Mr. Graves, let me ask you, as far as your defense was concerned, how was your defense team and what constituted your defense team?
Well, I had court-appointed attorneys who was very inexperienced, and although they believed in me strongly, but they just wasn't qualified to represent me in the capital murder trial. And then on top of that, you know, we'd sit over there. It was myself and 2 black attorneys, and then it was an all-white system, practically an all-white jury with an all-white judge and an all-white prosecution team.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? It was just a recipe for disaster. And, you know, it caused a wrongful conviction, man. I mean, the system is set up and designed to fail, period, because, number one, that, you know, we, for some reason, tend to govern from our emotions, and that's not coming from a rational mind. And, you know, we put that on our society. That's your personal feelings. I don't care if someone caused harm against you personally. The law that we're going to implement from that, does it protect us as a whole in society? And we don't see it that way. We do things, a knee-jerk reaction. That's what our laws are now passed on, a knee-jerk reaction. There's no rational minds now. And as a result, man, we got a failed system from top to bottom. They did a study on our system down here in Texas for the last 2 years. It was an independent study by the ABA. And I tell you, they found over 420 pages of a flawed system that causes wrongful convictions, and still today, they're still executing as though these things haven't been found, and that's just crazy to me.
Right, and also, I mean, you look at the system, and you see that, you know, that flaw affects everybody across the board. I mean, It affected you as a black man. It affects others as white men, as Hispanics, as whatever race you are, wherever you're from, whatever you're about, you know. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, Republican, Democrat, it seems so much that, you know, it feels like the system is just going against everybody. It's broken in so many places and affects so many people across the board, and it's people like you, you know, that come out and say, hey, I was wrongfully convicted, you know, thank God you were exonerated, that they found out the truth, and, you know, and that you're willing to be a voice to come out and say, hey, you know, this is wrong. This is wrong. When the system is wrong, let's deal with it. When it's right, because, I mean, I'm sure when you were there that you had men that were in there that were guilty that would admit, I'm guilty. But like you say, when a man cries out innocence year after year, you need to pay attention. People need to say, okay, if let's make sure he's really guilty. And that should start at the beginning. I mean, these prosecutors, when they went after you, you know, talk to us about what type of evidence that they claimed that they had or what type of evidence you may have presented that they would not allow that would have, you know, basically said you had nothing to do with this situation.
Well, number one, they didn't present any evidence. They presented a guy who they had threatened with prosecuting his wife should he not testify against me. That was the guy who originally made up the story. And then from there on, they supposedly had went and found a former employer of mine who said 2 years prior he had given me a switchblade knife as a gift, and then he had a replica of that, so they asked him if they could see his, and they took his, and then all of a sudden they said, oh well, this here could have been the knife. They never had no knife of mine or anything like that, and then they come to find out that the knife done tested said that it could never even have stood up to any whatever had happened. So it was just a bunch, they made it up, basically, because they needed something, but that was it. Now, what did I have? Well, I had alibi witnesses. I had a woman who knew me, who served me at the Jack in the Box window that night in another town, who was there to testify and testified that, how is this man going to be in that town? And I served him. I know what I served him. I know what he even said to me that night, because he was teasing me about giving him that steak sandwich. Okay, well, that was irrelevant to the jury, an all-white jury, one black man that they build up to be a hero. Okay, we'll get to that later because there's a lot of issues with that. But, I mean, it was just a whole recipe for disaster because I had an alibi witness with my key girlfriend who was just like, my girlfriend was there with me the whole night, was willing to testify, had testified in front of the grand jury a year before because they kept me in jail 2.5 years before they even took me to trial. Had testified in front of the grand jury, was with, they came there, took the oath in the trial, back in the jury room, waiting to come in and testify. The prosecutor jumps up and clears out the jury, asks the judge to clear out the jury, and states on record that my girlfriend had now become a suspect, and if she came and testified, that she would be now, they would now seek an indictment against her for capital murder. My attorney, inexperienced, goes back there frantically, tells this young 22-year-old girl at the time that who has no representation. She gets hysterical, starts crying, running out the courtroom, right? Never wavered about my innocence. And then at the end of that, the prosecutor goes to the jury in his closing arguments and says, well, where's his girlfriend? Why was she here to testify since Mr. Gray said she was going to, that he was with her? And made the jury seem like I was lying, even though he had threatened my key alibi witness with prosecution should she come testify, knowing that she had testified at the grand jury, had always cooperated 110% with them. They never, ever said she had anything to do with anything until she was getting ready to testify. So that was my evidence of my actual innocence, that they frightened away. You know, they knew exactly where I was. They had people who didn't have no interest in the case come and testify. They see me here. I mean, this man was there. And none of it mattered to an all-white jury because they felt like this is a young black man who I would rather go head on and convict him and let the appeal system deal with it other than letting him go out and he possibly be could be guilty, even though we have no evidence. That's just how they think, because that's the that's the pressure that the prosecution put on them by saying this man is guilty, and how dare you let him walk the streets again, you know?
Okay, Mr. Graves, we'll be right back here in just a moment. This is a Just Cause Coast to Coast. I'm Sam Thurman, your host, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about the judicial injustice. On the phones tonight, we have Anthony Graves, an exoneree out of Texas, and he's sharing his story. We'll be right back in just a moment.
That if you're listening to conservativenationmedia.com, you're a conservative. You love America just like we do, and you don't want to get caught short in case the leftist government drops the ball and leaves the country and your family unable to get the basis of life in an emergency. Since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. And your pipeline of those essentials is right here at conservativenationmedia.com. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds starting right now. Just go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution, where America always wins.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today, with an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
Foreclosure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, NeighborWorks America, and the Ad Council.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
You're tuned to a Just Cause Coast to Coast. I'm Sam Thurman, your host, along with Cliff Stewart, Ethel Lopez, and we have on the phone tonight Anthony Graves, an exoneree out of Texas. Anthony is coming up on his third-year anniversary, October 27th, of being exonerated off of death row in Texas. And Just Cause Coast to Coast, Anthony, thank you for being on the show with us tonight.
Hey, man, it's really a pleasure, man. Thank you for having me.
Hey, Anthony, this is Ethel, and I want to thank you, first of all, for coming on the show and, you know, telling us your story and everything. And I also wanted to ask you, because this is something that I am really interested in finding out, is your mental state, you know, when you found out, you know, that they're going to put you, you know, to death for something that you did not do. Tell us about what went through your mind, what you were thinking, you know, and things along that line.
Well, I mean, look, number one is that Anthony Graves knew who he was before that happened to him. So sentencing me to death and calling me a death row inmate did not make me forget who I was as a man, as a father, as a son, as a brother. So I went in really mentally stable because I had a lot of love in my life. So you couldn't shake that. And then I had God always. So that was a armor around me that was just, you wasn't going to get to my mental state unless I allowed you. So I said to myself early on that something that they could, you know, they took my freedom. But what they couldn't take from me that I wasn't going to give to them. That was my dignity. That was my state of mind. That was the love for myself and family. You know, and I just had a good sense of all of that. So it wasn't, I wasn't that one that was in there and that was just going, you know, falling to pieces. And I think that was also due to my naivete. And let me explain that, why I say that. See, you know, when growing up and going to school, you learn that you have the best system in the world, and that is fair for all, you know. So they give you that story about your system. So as a young man who want to believe in the American dream and the American system, you believe that. That's what you're taught. And so when it happens to you, you being innocent, you just want to hold on to the fact that there's no way this can just happen to you, that they can just come and take you from your home for a crime that happened in another town that you know nothing about. You don't know the people don't know you. You have absolutely no reason to just go do something crazy. You don't live your life like that. So, you know, that's something more to this. So my mental state was to pay attention to what was going on in my life, because if history says that I've seen this movie before. This is not the first time this happened to a young black man. And a good thing, I just knew who I was, where I come from, my culture, my heritage, that just said that, no, this is not the first time. So, you know, you need to figure out how to stand up and be a voice against what's happening to you so other people can know. And I paid attention to that, and I let God guide me with that. And so that's why I'm out here today doing what I'm doing, because for the 18 years that I was back there, I began that then. Because I knew that, you know, when I get out, and I always said, when I get out, because my naivete just said that there's no way that this can happen. And I really believe that had I not been naive from learning this thing about our system in school, that I would have lost my mind. Because the reality was that they could have executed me. They gave me 2 execution dates. And they was very well set to execute me. They had executed over 300 men around me. Men that I got to know and love as my brothers, that I knew was human beings who had the compassion to love, who would give you the shirt off their back. They may have just made one mistake in life. A lot of them didn't deserve to be there. Their cases should have been lesser charged offenses, but they didn't have the representation, and they end up getting a death penalty. And they look like me, and they look like young brown Hispanics, and they look like young poor white men now. And women, I mean, these things are happening because we just have a total breakdown in our system. And my naivete is what kept me sane, because had I really understood the failure and the total breakdown in our system, it probably would have drove me insane. I wouldn't have made 18 years.
Absolutely.
So what about, you know, people on the outside, family and friends, what kind of support system did you have that was standing up and reaching out and speaking out? You know, a voice out there on the outside that was reaching out and helping me.
Well, you know, my case had become international, so I had a voice from around the world. I mean, I had everybody. My case was that kind of case where it was just so unbelievable that something like this in this day and age can happen, where there's absolutely no evidence, and you just take a man from his home. You have all the evidence to prove that he is innocent, but yet you take him, you convict him in his little rural county, and you sentence him to death. And that just is just crazy to people who just read the case. So the voice was heard from around the world in my case. And I've developed family, extended family, from people who just came into my life and said, hey, you know, I care. And that was in Paris, and I mean in France and Switzerland and Germany and Sweden. Is, you know what? And the sad thing it is to say that it wasn't much support here in the United States. Because, and especially my own people, and I'm calling my people out because I'm saying we need to be more vigilant and we need to be more involved. Because
if we're not,
this is happening to our kids.
Absolutely.
We have to get involved, man. We have to quit, stop feeling that we don't need to go down there and sit on that jury. We do, because we need to make sure that they're treating our kids right.
Anthony, let me ask you.
I'm sorry. I get on my advocate.
No, no, it's quite all right. It's quite, everything you're saying is 100% valid. And that's what I was just getting ready to say is that, you know, one of the things with a just cause also, and that we're finding it as we look at other cases, is the fact that, you know, did you get this feeling? Because, you know, we see it. And it's this feeling that if it's not happening to me, it's not happening. And so it's like people tend to shy away from it. They turn away from it because it's not impacting them personally.
Right.
But you got someone like yourself. You spent 18 years in prison, wrongly convicted of something, and watching the fact that men around you are being put to death and men that you come to know and love, and you know that some of them are innocent, and then looking at your own situation, knowing that you are innocent, yet the system has no regard for you as a human being, have no regard for the truth. That's one of the things that a friend of mine stated at one time, and he's actually one of the IRP six. Gary Walker stated that it seems like the prosecution has no interest in the truth, that they're hell-bent on sending people to prison.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, what do you, you know, how do you feel about that? That's what it seems like is going on.
Well, you know, I mean, I feel like I need to be out there and be a voice for change. That's how I feel. I don't feel like I should just be talking about it. I should be about it. I should be involved,
right,
which is why I am.
Right.
I am not the one that to go around and just bash the system. I want to have some constructive dialogue, and let's sit down and talk about how do we solve these problems, because we know they're there. These prosecutors would tell you off record, hey, I go after them because I'm getting revenge for the family. It's not about justice. They feel like if they can get revenge for the family, then they've done their thing. And they'll even tell you. I had one prosecutor off record tell me, say, man, you know, we need to be getting back to justice because we're just getting revenge for the families now. That's all we're doing. And that's not what we're supposed to be doing. So that's
Anthony, hold that thought. We'll be right back. This is the Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice.
There comes a time when good things have to give way to great things. ConservativeNationMedia.com is growing like a Texas longhorn, which is why Michael B. Smith now has his own show. Check out Soldier of Patriotism, Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central, on ConservativeNationMedia.com. But don't be worried. He's the same Michael B. you've come to know and love, and you'll hear even more great interviews and awesome conservative commentary from our very own main man, Michael B. Smith, on Soldier of Patriotism, Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins.
You're tuned to A Just Cause Coast to Coast right here on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. I'm Sam Thurman, your host, along with Cliff Stewart and Ethel Lopez. On the phones this evening, we have Anthony Graves, an exoneree out of Texas. And, Anthony, we're right back to you. Go ahead and finish your thought.
No, I was just saying, you know, prosecutors know. I mean, but they're playing the politics in the system. And that, you know, when we talk about fixing our system, the first thing you have to do is you have to get the whole election process out the local part criminal justice system, because electing judges, you're putting them under pressure, electing prosecutors, you're putting them under pressure to cut corners, make deals, and mess over lives, because that's the only way they keep their job. So a lot of that falls on our shoulders to get in there and advocate for a better system all the way around, is to say, look, let's elect some of these judges and some of these prosecutors, put them in there for 10 years, and that's it. They don't have no pressure from a society to go out and cut corners, and after that, they get out. You know, they don't become politicians in there, because that's not what we need. We need somebody fighting for justice. So, you know, it stems from a lot of areas, man. I mean, it's just not them being blinded to justice. It's a lot of political pressure. And like I said, I like to have constructive dialogue because I like to get the problem solved. And I don't like to point the finger at them. And I know that a lot of them feel behind closed doors that they're not serving justice. They're getting revenge. And they've gotten so far off track now, and they don't know how to get back on, because now you got communities that are expecting that. And we put the pressure on them to, hey, convict. We don't put the pressure on them to seek justice. We put the pressure on them to convict, because that gives us illusion of security again once we think that we have the person behind bars. And that's on us. That's on us.
But, you know, is it right, and I know the answer to this already, is it right to put somebody behind bars just for the sake of appeasing the community? I mean, it's not right at all. Hey, Anthony, we'll be right back. Hey, thanks for joining us tonight, and stay right there. We're going to be right back with Anthony Graves, exonerated out of Texas. You're tuned to a Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you information, awareness, and education about judicial injustice. We'll be right back.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Filets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction, but where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with brie? Everybody likes brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
So, I'm a dog, and I just got adopted by this new human guy, and I'm starting to wonder how he got along without me. I mean, okay, something as simple as walking around the block. He's got this leash thing, and he puts me on one end and him on the other, and I'm just taking him around. I think he's afraid of getting lost. Without that leash and me guiding him along, I don't think he'd find his way back home. But it's kind of cute.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Every 20 seconds, another kid drops out of school. If we do nothing, 3.5 million kids won't receive a diploma over the next 4 years. United Way knows that kids who have a caring adult in their life are more likely to make it. And the difference between a dropout and a graduate could be you. Take the pledge to volunteer now at UnitedWay.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Conservative Nation Radio, where we still say Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Welcome to A Just Cause Coast to Coast. I'm Sam Thurman, your host, along with Cliff Stewart and F. Lopez. Tonight on the phone, we have Anthony Graves, an exoneree out of Texas, and he's going to be with us for most of the show. Callers, if you'd like to call in, if you have questions for Mr. Graves, he spent 18 years in prison in Texas. He's been out now for 3 years and spent time on death row. Very compelling story. And this falls under the category of what we're bringing as far as information and awareness on a just cause. If you'd like to call into the show, it's 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. So, Anthony, you were making some good points as far as the prosecution is concerned. And, you know, one of the things that we have seen is that, the prosecution in a lot of cases are not interested in exposing the truth. And what's this disheartening about that is the fact that you can have misjustice and injustice and miscarriage of justice to occur all over the place, and prosecutors may get a slap on the wrist. A judge may get a slap on the wrist. And so, you know, one of the things we're pushing for is judicial reform because of the fact that, you know, they should be held to the same standard that you and I are held to. If you were to lie on the stand, if you were to do something that would be considered corrupt or crooked, then the book will be thrown at you. But when it comes to prosecutors and judges, they tend to get a pass on this. So, you know, did any of that kind of activity occur in your case? Obviously it did. I mean, they got people to lie and come forward and say that you did something that you didn't. So, you know, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's just so crazy how much power the district attorney office has. And every time I go and speak, I always tell people that, you know, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely, and district attorneys have absolute power, which is corrupting them in ways. And, you know, the fact that there's really no oversight. You have the top prosecutor, which is attorney general, and that, you know, rides along with the district attorneys. They don't go against them. So they just really, really just a train wreck. I mean, waiting to happen because you don't have no brakes on them. It's sad. Well, I try to push this issue because that was a issue with my case. You know, as a matter of fact, when I come out, we filed a complaint against this prosecutor, but they didn't do anything because basically they're saying that the statute of limitation had ran out, which the statute of limitation was only 4 years. And now the statute started when I went to prison. So how do I fight this man? You know, he put me in prison for 18 and a half years. Statute of limitation ran out 4 years, while the first 4 years that I was down there. So there's nothing that I can do to this district attorney in terms legally. So it's
but
like,
you lost 18 years of your life.
Yeah, 18 years of
my
life.
You lost 18 years of your life. I mean,
he didn't get a slap on the wrist. Nothing. He didn't get a slap
on the wrist. That really, really speaks to how this system needs to be changed, how it needs to be reformed. Because how do you say, well, his statute of limitations ran out? So what about these people that, you know, the men that they find out, well, this man was executed wrongly. So is that statute of limitations, since it was murder, now are they going to go after the prosecutor for murder in that situation? Are they going to go after the judge for murder in that situation? They try to talk about these statute of limitations. No, don't put a statute of limitation on if it's found out that you ensured that a man went to prison wrongfully and you knew that you withheld evidence. You knew that you put in evidence that was wrong. There's no statute on limitations on ruining a man's life and on taking a man's life. They should be held, like Sam said, to the same standard. They would have come after you or whoever they are going after that says you got exonerated. Somebody committed those murders. There's no statute of limitations on that. And the fact they put you on death row to say basically your life is over, we have a time and a date that we are going to finish you, then there should be a time and a day that this prosecutor and this judge should be held accountable. That
well,
is
sick. Yeah, they had a blanket, what they call blanket immunity, man, and you just it's very hard to touch a prosecutor, and that's our problem. That is what our biggest problem is that there's no consequences, man. There are no safeguards to protect them from themselves, and then there are no consequences when they mess up. So, you know, they just have free reign to reign terror, and they do on a lot of families, man, because every time they get a wrongful conviction, that's a ripple effect, you know?
It
affects more than just that person that you put behind bars. He has a mother, maybe have children. He has friends and family that loves him, and you just basically change their life. So, when you have that type of power, man, there have to be safeguards and there have to be consequences because there need to be something that makes you understand that you have to use this authority and power in the highest regard for justice. And if not,
now,
then there are consequences.
Now, Anthony, let me ask you something. Were you in 23-hour lockup?
Yeah, 24 hours every day, man. I was in Solitary. I was in Solitary confinement, man, for 16 of the 18 and a half years that I was incarcerated. I was out of a 9x12 box. Cage, as I call it, man, with nothing but just my thoughts. Had a radio because I had love, and they would send me money to my books where I could purchase one. But other than that, no television or nothing like that. I was just behind concrete walls, man, waiting, for changes, man, because they were trying to kill me.
And, you know, a chill just went down my body when you said that because someone else last week on our exoneree moment, they stated that they referred to it as basically a parking space. And you know, I had never thought about that before, but when you look at, you know, you go out into the mall and the mall parking lot and you look at the fact that a man is confined to the space between those yellow lines, That is beyond cruel, Anthony. You know, my heart goes out to you. Like Cliff and Ethel said before, you know, we're thankful that you're out and that you are participating in the process as far as being a voice, because that type of thing should not happen to anybody. And the fact that you are sharing your story, you know, we're very appreciative of it. But, you know, the thing I wanted to say to that as well is, like you said, there is no recourse as far as the prosecutors are concerned, no recourse as far as judges are concerned. You know, we often talk about it from the standpoint that when someone subjects this type of punishment on a person and knowingly does it and knowingly, participates in a process as far as putting someone away and knowing that they didn't do anything, when they are cleared and it's proven that they didn't do anything, those people should be subjected to the same thing that you were subjected to. You know, that prosecutor should be able to spend 22 to 24 hours a day in a parking space and tell him when to go to the bathroom, tell him who he can write to, tell him when he can take a phone call.
That's right.
You know, those kind of things, you know, and if I sound a little upset, I am, because of the fact that we have six brothers right now that are in prison,
yeah,
and they're wrongly there. And, Anthony, you know, we're going to be a voice. That's why, you know, when I saw your story, I was like, we got to get him on the show because of the fact that the things that you're doing, you know, are to be applauded. Again, it does not erase it. It does not dismiss what you've gone through. But, you know, like you said, you know, you have God on your side, and you sound like you're a strong man, and we appreciate that. And so, anyway, I just had to throw that in there because it was on me as far as, you know, just have to say that these people need to be subjected to the same thing.
Yes, they do, man. And, I mean, you know, hey, man, you want to keep up with what I do, man, because I try to do it all, man. You can go to AnthonyBelize.com. That's my website, man. I've gone and spoken in front of the congressman. I was at a historical hearing on solitary confinement in front of Senator Dick Durbin and in front of the Senate, man. I am trying to be...
Okay, Anthony, say that website one more time. Say that website one more time so people can get it.
Say it slowly.
AnthonyBelize.com. Because I still believe
okay.
in truth and injustice, man, you know, and I believe in standing up for what is right, and I still believe in the people.
Okay, and Anthony, we have a caller on the line. We have a caller from area code 713, surprise caller. Are you with us, area code 713?
Yes, I am. I have a question for Mr. Graves.
Yes.
does that voice sound familiar to you, Anthony?
Go
ahead and identify yourself. Go ahead and identify yourself, caller.
Well, I'm going to ask him this. Mr. Graves, don't you agree that the very best lawyers in the world come from the University of Texas School of Law?
I definitely think that the best lawyers came from the University of Texas at Law.
Her name
was Nicole Catherine.
Yes.
Hey,
Anthony. How are you doing
tonight? I am fantastic.
Hey, let's bring the rest of the listening audience in on this. So, Nicole, give us your full name and tell us, you know, how you got involved in this situation.
Okay, well, my name is Nicole Kosarev, and I was, you know, I am a professor and a lawyer, and I investigated the facts in Anthony's case to see whether or not his claim of innocence was accurate, and my students and I investigated it, and we determined that we truly believed in his innocence, and so we worked to try to help Anthony, and ultimately I became one of Anthony's lawyers on his legal team, and we were our wildest dreams were met when we were able to secure an exoneration for Anthony.
Yes.
That is beautiful, and that's what it takes, Nicole, for somebody to get involved, somebody to hear your story and hear the cry of a man that says, I'm innocent, I'm innocent, I'm innocent, I'm innocent. For 18 years, I'm innocent. Does anybody hear me? Is there anybody
right.
who can hear my cry? And thank
right.
God that you and right. your students, you heard it. You came to the rescue. You said, we got to check. We got to at least check. I mean, what harm could it do to check to see if this man is innocent. What harm does it do just to look into it? And, go ahead.
Hey, you're tuned to a Just Cause Coast to Coast. On the phone, we have Anthony Graves and the host, Desiree. I probably messed up your name. We'll be right back. Nicole, I know you're at another engagement, but please stay with us. We just want to take a little bit more of your time when we return. We'll be right back after this.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811. PCSforAutomation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com. What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production...
There are many sounds in your day-to-day life. There are sounds that wake you up. Sounds that make you smile. Sounds that energize you. And sounds that help you relax. But there are some sounds that can alert you to danger and can help save lives. Wireless emergency alerts, now on many mobile devices, use a unique sound and vibration to bring you information about severe weather events, amber alerts, or other emergencies in your area. With critical information from local sources you know and trust, you can be in the know, wherever you are. For more information, visit ready.gov/alerts. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're tuned to Just Cause Coast to Coast. I'm Sam Thurman, where we bring you education, information, and awareness about judicial injustice. On the phones tonight, we have Anthony Graves, an exoneree out of Texas. And Nicole, thank you for joining the call also. I know, Nicole, we're not going to hold you long because you're at another engagement, and we appreciate you breaking away. But, you know, very quickly, Anthony, you did something very special, I believe, last week to honor Nicole. Share a little bit about that. And, I mean, it really touched my heart when I read about that. I think it's a very fitting honor. And, Nicole, before Anthony gets started, I just want to tell you thank you also.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Well,
so, Anthony, tell us about what you did for Nicole, or in Nicole's name.
Well, you know, Nicole did a wonderful thing in saving a man's life. She took 9 years out of her life and dedicated to saving a man's life who she just believed in. And so I thought that something like that has to be a something that lives on, something that can inspire others. And I knew I had to come up with the right thing to do that would just kind of cement her legacy. And what I did is I created a Nicole B. Cassaris Scholarship Fund in Law, Endowment Scholarship Fund in Law at the University of Texas in her name, because I just feel like what she stands for, when people, you know, apply for that type of scholarship, that they will be like-minded people and they'll be ready to do the great work that she did. And I'm just hoping that just the special person she is, it will be just infectious through a scholarship and, you know, and her you have to understand who she is. She's just this person who's so humble and wouldn't take a dime from a person, but will give her last. And she's just that person that I think that exemplifies all that we should strive to be, someone who will stand up for others because we are.
And you know, Anthony, when I read that it was something that just drew me in, and Nicole, it speaks a lot to who you are as an individual.
Absolutely.
When I read that Anthony said that he knew that you would not take money, but so he had to figure out some sort of way, like he just stated, that what you did on his behalf would live on. And you know, Nicole, that's awesome. I mean, you must just be an awesome lady.
Yes, she is.
Well,
she'll never see it.
you're making me tear up again. I mean, it was doing the right thing. You don't leave somebody who you know is innocent in the hell that he was in. I mean, you know, we thought when all this started, I mean, here's the fact. The fact was that it probably was going to have a bad outcome, you know. That was the way it is in Texas. When somebody's on death row, they're probably going to get executed. And you know what?
That's a shame.
I felt as though, you know, somebody's going to care. Somebody is going to care. This is going to work out. And even if it doesn't, I am not walking away from it because that's just not what you do. If you're a good person, you care about others, you care about the system, and you're not going to leave somebody who is innocent sitting on death row. You're just not going to do it. So anyway, I was totally thrilled. I couldn't be more honored and more pleased. Anthony's right. I never would have taken a dime because that would be wrong. It would be the wrong thing to do. Anthony is entitled to the payment that he got, and I don't even think we ought to call it compensation. It's just wrong. There's no way he'll ever be compensated for what he lost.
That's right.
You know, it's a scholarship to encourage other people, to other lawyers, to work for justice. I can live with that. In fact, I'm hugely honored.
And you know, Nicole, when you look at, you know, I look at the statement that Anthony made about you, that you wouldn't take a dime for what you did because it was the right thing. We have a man that's wrongly convicted, and somebody had to step up and say, you know what, Anthony, I hear your cry, and I'm going to do something. And when you look at our judicial system, you look at the people who are in place, you look at the so-called American Justice, Department of Justice, and, you know, when you reach out to these people who are not only taking the money, they're being paid by the American people, and this is their job. This is not something that somebody says, will you volunteer? You know, this is not Nicole and her students. This is not a person. This is not an advocacy group. This is a person that it's your job. Go out, seek justice, find out what's going on. Find the person that's wrongly convicted. Get them out of prison. Get them away from the harm that's going to come to him. You see a man on death row that shouldn't be there, go get him off. And not only that, find out that he needs to be off death row. And we look at, you know, Attorney General Holder. We reached out to him, like, on the IRP 6 case. And, you know, you say, you're being paid to seek justice. You're being paid to find out what's going on. Do your job. And, Nicole, you know, I do not have words to say how much it's appreciated that you would reach out, that you would say, we have to rescue this man. We have to at least check and see what's going on. And we have a caller on the line right now that is in the 719 area code. Caller, you wanted to make a comment? Caller from 719, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, can you identify yourself, and then what's your question or comment?
Yes, I'm Rose Banks from Colorado Springs. I'm the mother of one of the IRP 6 and the mother-in-law of one of them, and the rest of them are my sons as well. As I listened to Anthony tonight, I could not help but shed tears and feel a sense of pain and suffering that only he could come on this show and demonstrate that tonight. His value you couldn't even put a price on it. For a man to have gone through what he's gone through to come on here, and the more I thought about his 18 years, I can't even wrap my mind around that. And all I could think about, our guys have been incarcerated for 14 months, and it seems like an eternity. I can't even imagine 18 years of somebody's life being taken away from their family, have a good story, a good alibi that says I wasn't there and nobody heard you. Anthony, I pray continually for people like this. God, help us to do what we can for those people whose voices are not heard. It is a shame we live in a society that people turn a deaf ear because they believe if you're incarcerated, you must have done something wrong. I raised my son, and all these men I've known for the last 20 years, the IRP6, these men, they worked so hard working toward a thing that would benefit this country. And, Anthony, when I heard you say you got less support in the United States, that's a tragedy. When we say we are a democratic society, that we care about each other, something is wrong. And if you're in a position where you can do something or say something to benefit somebody else, it's a tragedy if you sit by on the sideline and say nothing. And even the black people in this country, I'm telling you, it's a tragedy. I'm so glad Nicole came to your aid. It's a tragedy when your own people close a deaf ear to the suffering when they know what we've all been through for all of our lives. It is a tragedy that the president of the Black Bar in Denver said, I can't help you people unless you give me some money. They didn't have any money. They had been blackballed. They didn't have nothing to pay to be able to afford an attorney. Thank God for people like Nicole who heard your cry, and your prayers made her hear your cry. And I am grateful tonight that you're on this show. It rips my heart out to know that you lost 18 years of your life, and what you have left, you're helping and reaching out to somebody else. May God bless you and all the others out there that's suffering and crying. Hopefully somebody, by the grace of God, is going to hear their voice and say, what can I do? It is a tragedy. It is a tragedy. And you know what I thought? There's no real value on a black man's life in this country. We don't have any value if you let them speak to it. But I tell you tonight, in the sight of God, we have value. Every human being on this planet has value, and they should not be pushed in a corner because of the color of their skin. God bless you, Anthony. I'm so glad I got a chance to meet you for a brief moment, but you and others will always be in our prayers. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you so much.
Thank you to that caller. Wow.
Awesome.
We're going to just keep going. Nicole, I know we got a break that's coming up, and you got to get back to an engagement that you were in. And so, if you guys can just take the music on out. And, Nicole, your final words, and we'll let you get back to your engagement because we got a hard break coming up here at 15 after.
I would just say to people like Ms. Banks, you know, you are really important in your loved ones' lives. You have to stay in their lives, even if you feel like they need more help than you can give. Anyway, thank you for having me on tonight, Anthony. Love you.
Hey, love you too. Talk to you. Hey, see you tomorrow.
Yes, sir. Bye.
Bye.
So, Anthony, that was a very special moment. We want to say thank you to Nicole Caceres. I think I got it right that time. And the great work that she has been doing in support of Anthony Graves and I'm sure others. And, Anthony, you know, it's just an awesome thing that you did as far as establishing a scholarship fund in her name. And so, Anthony, we got a hard break that's coming up here. But as far as, you know, some of the things, as far as, you know, when Nicole stepped in and said that she was going to help you, I mean, that just had to be an awesome feeling. Share just a little bit about that.
Well, you know, when you fight that long and when you're in that type of fight, you can't get too up and you can't get too down because you're on a roller coaster. I mean, you know, one day you have hope and the next minute the court snatches it away. So when somebody comes into your life and say, hey, look, I'm going to help you save it, and then you say, okay, well, then it's going to be hard and it's going to be long and you know, you're going to get a lot of surprises. This is a roller coaster. And, you know, so being that she came into my life, I was grateful, but I understood what I was up against. I was up against a machine that has just really went off track, and it's just killing innocent people, and no one is able to stop it, it seems. So I knew what I was up against. I mean, but I was grateful that this lady came to me and said that she wanted to help me. So one of the first things I asked her also was, are you going to be here? I mean, I need you to be here if you're going to help me. I don't want you to come into my life and leave. Whether we win or lose, I just need to know that you're going to be here because you want that rock. And she went home and she really thought about it. And when she came back, she said, yeah, I'm going to be here. And that was just that assurance that I had somebody that was going to be lined up and fighting with me. But I didn't by all means think that meant that we was going to win. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, I knew that I just wanted to make a loud noise about this injustice. And if they take my life, then it won't be in vain because I know that I put it out there and that people heard it. It's just what they're going to do next. That was just my hope that they would do something.
Okay, Anthony, stay right there. You're tuned to a Just Cause Coast to Coast. I'm Sam Thurman, your host, along with Ethel Lopez and Cliff Stewart, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. Okay, we got a quick little read here from Cliff, and then we're going to go to a commercial break. We'll be right back.
Any police officer will tell you that Friday nights on the beat can get fairly hectic, and now Friday nights on conservativenationmedia.com will be even more interesting. We're proud to welcome retired police officer Kathy Henners to Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central with a daily roll call. Kathy served her community in New York State for years, and now she serves America by keeping a watchful eye on the Muslim Brotherhood and any troublemakers unlucky enough to cross her path. So don't miss Daily Roll Call with Kathy Henners, Fridays at 8 Eastern, 7 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins.
Okay, forest animals, today is a new day. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow.
Yes?
Have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. Okay, river.
Dude.
How's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man. Perfect for a little riverside shoeless relaxation.
Ah, good. Owl, you here? Quash. Who's asking? I am. Look, you know the drill. Sleep during the day, scare the kids at night.
Perfect. I love my job.
Oak tree?
Stop.
Still in the same place I left you last year. That's what I like, consistency.
Well, it's not like I'm going anywhere for the next couple hundred years.
I know. I love it. Turtle. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. You'd think he would have learned by now to leave the night before our meetings. Okay. Squirrel. Has anybody seen Mr. Squirrel?
The forest has been preparing just for you. Visit a forest near you today. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs. I start to cough. Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, one out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking. It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest. A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Good evening, America. You're tuned to A Just Cause Coast to Coast right here on ConservativeNationMedia.com. I'm Sam Thurman, your host, along with Cliff Stewart. Ethel Lopez on the phones. We are honored, and I say that with all heartfelt sincerity. Anthony Graves, we appreciate you joining us on the show tonight. An exoneree out of Texas. He's been exonerated now for 3 years, but spent 18 years in most of that in solitary confinement for capital murder. Anthony, we are so blessed to have you on the show tonight. Also, Anthony, we have one of our associates that's going to join in on the call. We have a staff writer from the Maryland Daily Examiner. Jay, are you there, sir?
Hey, Sam, how are you, brother?
Doing well, man, doing well. Hey, I guess you're listening in on the show. Anthony, Jay, we have Anthony Graves on from Texas. And so, Jay, you have a question.
Yeah, I was just going to, first of all, thanks for letting me talk again. And, Anthony, I just want to say I don't envy you, but I definitely give you all the props, man, for what you've been through and sustaining. And to God be the glory for sustaining you, and because he's got greater things for you to do, that's for sure. But I just wanted to ask you, how did you find dealing with the situation you were in on a daily basis? What were some of the things that you did to try to keep your sanity, so to speak?
Well, I always tell people that what I did on a daily basis was kept God first. That's what I had to do because I couldn't just do it by myself. I was just carnal man. And I kept God first. And I understood, as I said earlier in the program, who I was as a man. I knew I was Anthony Graves. I knew I was a good person. And as I said, I didn't give them things that they couldn't take from me, which allowed me to actually live while I was still on death row. I did not want to just exist. I wanted to live. And in order to live, I had to just understand, I had to make sense of this, what was happening in my life. And what I did, I played tricks with my mind, and I just set up myself and I said, look, you learn as much as you can from this here, so when you get out, you shout up at the rooftop about this injustice. So pay attention. But in the meantime, you let God handle it, and you just live. Live till you die, man. When they told me, they gave me 2 execution dates, and they told me that they was going to kill me. And I just said to myself, and I tell people all this all the time, I am going to live till I die. You can't do nothing until then. But until that happens, I'm going to live because that's my choice. You know, and I understood what my choices were, man. And the thing is, we forget that we have choices when we get caught up in these type of situations. You have a choice as to how you want to respond to any event that happened in your life. That's what shapes your life, your response to it, not the event itself. And I shaped my life. I responded to this thing positively. I wanted to take what I could out of it and make these 18 and a half years worth something. I didn't want my life to be nothing in vain. And I knew that people like Martin Luther King and many other brothers that came way before me that lost their life standing up for the rights of others. Who was I going to be to cower as a black man going through the same type of injustice, not to stand up for against it and shout it from the rooftop? That nothing was promised to me. No one told me that I would get out of there. No one said that they would actually execute me. But I knew that I had to make this a purpose. I had to make this thing have a reason for being. And that was so that I can get out here and make sure that everybody understands what is going on in our system. So that was my whole approach, which allowed me to live on death row. Because you have to understand that when you're in any situation, you have a choice, man, as to how you want to deal with it. Negatively or positively, that is your choice. Nobody can never take that from you. No matter what they throw at you, they cannot take how you respond to it. And if you choose to respond to it positively, you'll get some out of it every time. And that's what I understood, and that's why I chose to respond to it the way I did. And as a result, I'm out here crisscrossing the world, educating people and encouraging people about hope and how to stand up for justice. So I've been blessed, man, in hindsight, and that's what I knew going through what I had to go through. It stopped being why me, and start becoming why not me because of what I do and see the impact that I have out here today.
Right.
So I'm a blessed brother, man, and I did what I did on death row day by day, just living. Just living, man, and understanding what was going on in my life. And I knew that there had to be a greater purpose. And that is, and my life today is a perfect example of what I understood.
Jay, do you have a follow-up question?
Yeah, I was just going to comment on what he said, just two things right quick. What he said, the interesting thing he said was living on death row. What an interesting dichotomy. That is,
yes.
to live, to be able to live on death row. And it just reminded me of a saying that I have that says, when you find yourself stranded in the desert of life, the last thing you need to worry about is how much dirt is in your pocket. You need to focus on where you're going and not where you are.
That's right.
You know? So, but anyway, Anthony, I congratulate you, brother, and I'll keep you in my prayers, man, because we need strong testimony and advocacy and voices, especially voices that have been in that wilderness, because for those of us who have not been in that wilderness, we're still groping along the wall trying to find our way to get to help people like that were in your situation. So keep on doing what you're doing, brother.
I appreciate it, brother. I appreciate it.
Jay, thanks for calling in. That's Jay Arrington, staff writer with the Maryland Daily Examiner. He's a great supporter of A Just Cause and the IRP6. Callers, if you'd like to call in, 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. We're having a compelling discussion with Anthony Graves, exoneree out of Texas. Cliff, who do we have next?
Okay, we have caller LaWanna. We got about three minutes left. LaWanna, go ahead with your question or your comment.
Yes, my name is LaWanna Clark. I want to tell Anthony how happy I am for him to have been exonerated. I hate that it took that many years of his life for it to happen, but I'm just glad that he is out here and he's reaching out and helping and fighting for others, just as a just cause is. I am the sister of David Banks and the sister-in-law of Gary Walker, who are locked up. The other guys I know well, too. They are my brothers.
Right, of the IRP6.
Of the IRP6, yes. And I just felt like I should call in, too, and say that what Anthony was saying was so true because the justice system set me up to try to bring my brothers down of the IRP6. They tried to set me up, and they did, and put me in a prison camp for 6 months of my life when I had never committed any crime at all and said that I was sent to prison for 6 months for perjury, which I never did. And to try to bring these guys down and make them bow. And I am so glad that they did not bow. I'm glad that I'm here. And the fact that when they say that that you can have your innocence right in front of them, proof of your innocence, and they totally ignore that is very true because that's what they did to me. And said that I did something I did not do. The evidence was right there in black and white. I won't get into all the details of it because I know you don't have the time. But I just wanted to say I am so glad. I'm glad we're out here fighting, and I know that the fight is going to help to release our brothers soon with the help of God, and I appreciate people who stand up and who fight, and I'm so glad to be a part of it. I would never, if I had a choice and they had to bow, I wouldn't have let them bow. I'd have went to prison for 6 months. But the justice system is going to be straightened out, and I believe with everything in my heart that God is bringing this thing to an end and helping people and reaching out with people like Anthony and Nicole and all the others that are out there, and I'm just glad to be a part of it. And thank you so much for letting me speak.
All right, thank you, LaWanna. We appreciate those words. LaWanna Clark, the brother of David Banks and brother-in-law, or sister-in-law to Gary Walker of the IRP6. You know, we got a tearjerker going on here tonight, you guys. This is amazing, but it shows just how much we need to bring light to what's going on in the justice system. I mean, you look at the mother of Rose Banks calls in. Of David Banks calls in. The sister of David Banks. These are families, you know, the extensions to what happens when the justice system goes wrong, you know. And Anthony, you told us about, you know, all the people who were affected in your life, how they tried to bring your girlfriend up on murder charges. all these things, and we got to understand that, you know, we got to fight together.
Yeah, and that's a lot of, you know, and I want to say too, Anthony, thank you. God bless you for having gone through this. God bless LaWanna for what she's gone through and the IRP 6, and that's why A Just Cause is here. And that's what we're going to do is fight for people who are going through the exact same stuff that you guys are enduring.
This is A Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you information, awareness, and education about judicial injustice. On the phones, we have Anthony Graves. Anthony, stay right there. We'll be right back.
One of the worst nightmares that can befall an American today is identity theft. It happens to you. It may take months or even longer to recover from it, if you can recover at all. Don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24/7, 365. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com, then click on the LifeLock banner. You'll be very glad you did.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to stand for America now.
Molon LeVay Challenge Coins and Wares. Similar to challenge coins used by various military units, these MLCCW coins are ideal for anyone that champions the right to keep and bear arms by highlighting the Second Amendment and the Greek phrase, Molon LeVay, which translated means, come and take them. Come check out our pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and pro-Second Amendment coins and shirts at MLCCW.com. That's MLCCW.com.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
I'm making beef sliders for my friend Sammy. Nana taught me to always pull meat off the grill early, so it's extra juicy.
Use a food thermometer to ensure ground beef is 160 degrees, or you could make people really sick. Sandy didn't think twice about the slider she ate until yoga class, when a nasty case of food poisoning turned her downward-facing dog into upward-moving lunch. Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov and learn the steps Maria unwittingly leaves out. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
You're tuned to A Just Cause Coast to Coast. I'm Sam Thurman, your host, along with Cliff Stewart and Ethel Lopez. I tell you what, you know, Cliff, Ethel, we have a man. This is a show tonight.
Absolutely.
This is a show. We have on the phones Anthony Graves, an exoneree out of Texas. Anthony, again, you know, great to have you on the program. And you know, considering the circumstances that brought you here, we wouldn't have that to happen to anyone, but we are just happy that you're sharing your story. You're reaching a lot of people. I understand that, and by the way, callers, if you like to call in, the number is 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. Anthony, give out your website again, please.
AnthonyBelieves.com.
AnthonyBelieves.com. So, folks, go out there and check out AnthonyBelieves.com. Anthony, I understand that you're going to be on Katie Couric's show next week.
Yeah, I'm going to be taping Katie Couric next week. We're going to, just be talking about along these same lines. I travel all over. I use every platform that I and every stage I can to share my story in order to bring light to this injustice.
And you know, it's going to take voices just like yours. And you know, it's one of those things that you can speak directly to it because you've been there. You know, it's not something you heard about. It's not something that you read about. But you have been there. You experienced it. You have experienced living in that, you know, in that concrete block cell. You've experienced being in solitary confinement for 22 to 24 hours a day. You've experienced being cut off from your family. You know, all of the things that, illustrate what injustice is about, especially being an innocent man. Being an innocent man. You know, Anthony, we were visiting with the IRP 6 recently, and one of my friends, Demetrius Harper, made a comment, and it stuck with me. And I hear certain things, and sometimes I don't say anything about it. And when he said that, you know, he said that he can't wait to get out and just stand under the rain. And you know, it was one of those things that I think someone made a comment. It's like, well, you know, it rains here. And it's like, yeah, but there's nothing like free rain.
Yeah.
You know, when someone says that, it really brings it home. It's like, man, you know, the things that we take for granted, standing outside, and if you want to stand outside in the rain, you can. But when he said, yeah, but there's nothing like free rain, Anthony, yeah. You know, I'm sure you can relate to that.
Look, I was, when I was in my cell one day, the population guys were cut the grass around the facility, around the plantation. And I stood up and I was looking out the little old bitty window that I had to roll my mattress up and stand up at the top of the wall, and the customer, the window's way up there, and just only 3 inches wide and about 6 inches long, but I could look, stand on my tiptoes and sort of look down at an angle, and I could see the guys cutting the grass. And I was just thinking, man, what I would do just to take off my shoes and maybe just walk in that grass. Because it's all concrete that I lived in and around for 18 years. And so I got down and I just wrote a poem about it. I can't remember how it went, but it was just talking about what I would do, just what I would give just to be able to take my shoes off and let the grass, you know, be beneath, between my toes. I mean, because those are the little things you miss, man. Those are the little things that become magnified in your life because we don't really understand how important they are. We walk by them all day. We forget to smell the roses. We get to say hello. We forget to tell our loved ones that we love them. And then the next thing you know, an event has caused a change in your life and you didn't get a chance to do so. So, you know, I looked at that. I definitely can relate to what he's talking about with the free rain, because when I got out that day, the sun was shining bright. And I never forget, 48 Hours was right there because they were doing a documentary, which, by the way, I have an Emmy Award for. So,
wow, awesome.
Very powerful. Yeah, and so they asked me, one of the questions they asked me, say, you know, how do you feel, man? And I had been in there all this time. And I looked around, man, and the sun was shining, and there was a light breeze, man. And I just felt like, for the first time in 18 years, man, I have the sunshine of freedom on my face.
Mm.
The sunshine
That's
of freedom.
Deep, man. That is deep.
You know, Anthony, I am so happy, you know, that you were able to come on and to tell your story. And I pray that there are young men out there, you know, men and women, that are listening to your story, because it is such a tragedy how easy it is to get trapped into the system, you know, and to spend the rest of your life. I mean, you know, you don't have to have done anything as your case is, you know, but you can get thrown in prison for the rest of your life for absolutely no reason. you know, and I'm so glad to hear you tell your story, and I pray that there are youngsters out there, young people, who will take heed, and maybe this will force them to want to do something with their lives, at least stay on the right track. I mean, with the IRP6, with yourself, you didn't even do anything. But those that are out there, you know, that are throwing their lives away, period, you know, just take note of this thing and listen and see what can happen, and realize that once you're behind bars, you know, you unless you got somebody fighting for you, you can forget it, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that God has blessed you and he has brought you out and brought you through, you know, everything. And there were people out there that were fighting for you and that were helping. And I just have to keep saying that I'm so glad to be a part of the organization that I'm a part of, which is the Just Cause. Who, you know, we are reaching out to help those people who have been wrongly convicted and don't have a voice to speak for themselves, you know, and we want to do everything that we can possibly do just to make their voices heard, because in this day and age, there is no love. People don't care. If it's not happening directly to them, people just don't care.
Yeah, you know, it's too many, in today's age, there's just so many distractions that people are just totally distracted from what's actually happening around them. You have all these gadgets. You just have so many things that distract you from your reality. And I find that when I come out, that was a big problem as to why people don't get involved, is that they're distracted by so many other things that are going on around here in their life, and they're just caught up in this rat race of trying to make a living, that they feel like, you know, all that other stuff doesn't matter because I need to focus on keeping my head above water. Well, let me tell you something. When you let those things slide, then your head begins to sink because those things eventually affect you as well. So
yeah,
you might as well get involved.
That's right. And you know, Anthony, it's just amazing, your story. And, you know, stay right there. You know, we appreciate you joining us and being with us for the entire show. We got another break we've got to go through here just really quick, and then we'll bounce back in here. This is a Just Cause Coast to Coast on conservativenationmedia.com.
If you love conservative internet radio as much as we do, then you already know about the Grit and Grace radio show. Jennifer Meadows and Josh Bernstein have been carrying the conservative message on the net for years, and now they're here on conservativenationmedia.com. Join Grit and Grace every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central for solid American patriotism, unapologetic commentary, the latest news and conservative analysis, with a good dose of plain old-fashioned fun. That's Grit and Grace and Grace every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins.
Hey, this is a Just Cause Coast to Coast. We're on the phone with Anthony Graves, an exoneree out of Texas. Anthony, let me see here. Callers, if you'd like to call in, you can call in at 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. Anthony, we got another hard break coming up in 2 minutes, but before we go to that hard break, I have to ask you this question because, I mean, living in solitary confinement and understanding just a little bit of the conditions from what I've been told, health issues, I mean, are you suffering from any kind of health-related issues as a result of your confinement?
Well, man, I mean, you know, as I say, I've been very blessed. Now, when I first come out, I had high blood pressure, man, and when I was able to have a complete physical, which they never really gave, I found out that I had like 13% plaque in my veins from all the bad food that I was eating, which could have caused an aneurysm or heart attack. My doctor was saying, man, you know, it's a good thing you came when you did, because this stuff is the type of stuff that threatens, you know, aneurysm and heart attacks, et cetera. And so I came out with some health issues, but I've gotten with my doctor, and now I'm stress-free, and my blood pressure is down, and I don't have high cholesterol no more from all that bad food, and the plaque is kind of dissolved, and I'm good now. But, yeah, I did come out with some issues, not as many as most people that I see down there, but I did come out with my own fair amount of issues.
Man, that is, you know, we hear so many times that, you know, the healthcare there,
when they have you inside, you know, is just pretty much non-existent. That,
definitely.
You know, it's like they say they're sending you, you know, to the hospital there, to the infirmary, but what do they do for you? And in your case, as well as others, you know, it's pretty much absolutely nothing is what we're hearing.
Hey, Anthony, again, sit right there. We're going to be going to a heartbreak here in a moment. I'd like to give out that phone number again, 718-305-7176. When we come back, we'll take more callers. This is a Just Cause Coast to Coast. I'm Sam Thurman with Cliff Stewart and Ethel Lopez on the phone with Anthony Graves, an exoneree out of Texas. Thanks, Anthony, for being on the show. We'll be right back after these messages.
It is with great pleasure that I welcome you to today's graduation ceremony. Students, when you hear the reason or reasons for your absences throughout the years, please exit the auditorium without your high school diploma. Once you've exited, remove your cap and gown and proceed into the unknown. Too tired. Family trip. Part-time job. Helping around the house. Sick day. Starting the holidays early. Just because.
Starting in the sixth grade, students who miss 18 days or more of school in a year for any reason will fall behind and risk not graduating high school. How many days of school has your child missed this year? Absences add up. Keep track at boostattendance.org today. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Hey, there he is. How's it going?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you going to shake my hand or what?
I'm having a stroke.
Wow, you're not even moving your arm.
I'm having a stroke.
Are you okay?
I'm having a stroke.
Your face looks weird, too.
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having a seizure or something?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately, because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
You're tuned to A Just Cause Coast to Coast. I'm Sam Thurman, your host. Cliff Stewart, Ethel Lopez. Callers, you can call in to 718-305-7176. 718-305-7176. We're honored to have Anthony Graves on the phone this evening, joining us, an exoneree out of Texas after spending 18 years in prison, wrongly convicted, and spending most of that time on death row. On the phones, Mr. Bonowitz, are you there?
Yes, I am. Greetings.
Greetings, Mr. Bonowitz. Mr. Bonowitz, tell us about your organization and your fight against the death penalty.
Well, first, so I've been able to just call in just now towards the end of the program. I have been tonight in a celebration in Maryland, where we've been celebrating Maryland becoming the fifth state in as many years to legislatively repeal the death penalty, which we did. The governor signed the bill on May 2nd, and it went into effect October 1st, and we've had a number of celebrations, but one of them literally is just finished, and it just came out from that. I was one of the leading organizers in that campaign. My job was constituency development in the district of the Senate president here, Michael Miller, the longest-serving Senate president, and I guess really that boils down to what everybody who's listening needs to make sure that you're doing, which is letting your own legislator, your state representative, and your state senator know that it's time to get rid of the death penalty and that we need to do it in every state. 18 states do not have the death penalty now, but we still have it in 32 states, plus the military, plus the federal government. And as long as we have the death penalty, we risk the execution of an innocent person. And as was just said moments ago, one of the things that Maryland has done in eliminating the death penalty is eliminating the possibility of executing somebody because of their race or the race of the victim. You know, Maryland is one of those states where actually they had 5 executions and 5 people on death row, and all of the victims in all 10 of those cases were white people, even though the victims of murder in Maryland more than 70% of the time were people of color. And this holds true across the country. So there's so many issues that we have to look at, but it all boils down to the fact that we've got a flawed public policy that fails us. It does nothing to help murder victim family members. It does nothing to protect society. In fact, we now have studies that show that police officers are more likely to be murdered in the line of duty in states that do have the death penalty. So, you know, it just is, it's a failed public policy, and we could do so much better. It's one of the things we're trying to do is provide better resources for victim families, and also to make sure that we're not having more cases like Anthony's, or I was just with Kirk Bloodsworth, who was a member of an organization, I believe Anthony is a member as well, of Witness to Innocence. You can check it out, witness2innocence.org, which is made up of people who have survived death row. And Kirk was a Maryland case, the first person exonerated in the country from death row using DNA technology. So that's just a little snippet of what's been happening. And my work is in working with different state organizations to help them build their capacity to pass death penalty repeal legislation and death penalty reform legislation. So I'm working right now after finishing the job with in Maryland. Previous to that, we did in New Jersey, New Mexico, Illinois, Connecticut, then Maryland. We're working now in Delaware, Kansas, Colorado, New Hampshire. There's a number of states that are lining up to do this, and really.
Hey, Mr. Bonner, quick question for you. Just have a question regarding, do you have any statistics? You know, like with Anthony's case, we understand that, you know, it's a smaller town. Do you have anything that shows any distinction between, you know, when you have a rural town and an urban town or urban city, and the state of mind, so to speak, as to, you know, when they go after someone, or like in Anthony's case, being wrongly convicted and you know, the community just kind of fabricating and orchestrating a case against Anthony. Is there anything that shows any distinction between the small town attitude and the urban city?
It's a good question, but not that I know of. What I can tell you, and actually there's another brand new study, look at deathpenaltyinfo.org, there's a brand new study that demonstrates that where the death penalty is used the most are in counties that can afford a death penalty prosecution. So generally it's going to be in your more urban areas where they have the resources, the tax base, to fund a prosecutor's office where they can actually seek death sentences. So what we know now is that actually fewer than 2% of the counties in this entire country send everybody that go, most of the people that go to death row and to execution come from this tiny little percentage of counties. Now, you know, in counties like Texas, in states like Texas, you have 254 counties, and only 40 or so have ever sent anybody to death row to be executed. And the question you have to ask is, well, you know, are there not murders happening in these other counties? And the answer is no, there are murders, but they just can't afford death penalty prosecutions. And the best example of that most people would know about would be the Jasper murder, where Mr. Byrd was dragged to his death by 3, you know, white supremacists, and one of them has now been executed. But the only
the only reason that they were able to seek the death penalty in Jasper, Texas, in Jasper County, Texas, because the federal government stepped in and prosecuted it as a hate crime, because Jasper County could never have afforded that trial. So I think that there is something to be said for the mentality of a small town, the idea we've got to have somebody. And, in fact, in Texas, there have been cases where, I'm blanking on the guy's name now, but there's it's going to come to me. There's a man who was basically as a janitor in a school when there was a murder of a girl. That's it, Clarence Bradley. And thank you. And basically, you know, the police officer said, well, you're the N-word, you're going to fry. And that was it. He went to death row just because he was a black guy. And
On the phones we have Abraham Bonowitz, Anthony Graves. So callers, if you'd like to call in, 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. This is a Just Cause Coast to Coast. Anthony Graves spent 18 years in prison in Texas. He is an exoneree doing a great work around the country. Mr. Bonowitz, before we get ready to close out the show, how can folks reach you and your organization to help in the fight against against the death penalty and to abolish the death penalty?
Well, I up until June, I was with an organization called the National Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty. That's NCADP.org. What's most important is that people hook up with the organization in your state. So just Google the name of your state and death penalty, and you ought to come up with the organization, the state organization working to end the death penalty. So, you know, in Texas, Texas Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty, in Delaware Appeal Project, et cetera. So just Google death penalty and the name of your state, you'll come up with your state group. Sign up with them. I'm also a consultant with the Catholic Mobilizer Network that uses death penalty. And, you know, everybody should check out deathpenaltyinfo.org, get up on the facts. Contact your legislators, tell them you want to get rid of the death penalty.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Bonowitz, for joining the show tonight. Mr. Graves. Hey, guys, bring the music down a little bit, please. Engineers, bring the music down just a little bit, please. Thank you. Hey, Mr. Graves, Anthony, we want to thank you for joining the show. You have been a gracious guest. You're sharing your story, getting the word out. The number here is 718-305-7176. Anthony, we have a couple minutes left. Give us a couple of closing words, please.
Well, I just like to say, man, that what happened to me, the way our system is designed, that can happen to anyone. So, you know, this whole notion that you walk around in life thinking that it always happened to the other guy and it never can happen to me. I was one of those people. I never thought this could ever happen to me in my life. I was my own Superman. But we have a system that is all kryptonite, and I tell you, they pour it on you, and it definitely changes your life. You need to be vigilant and you need to be involved. I mean, because it is all of our system. And the only way that we're going to have a just system is we all have to play our part. Our system is like a car. Car, you have different parts. But in order for that car to work properly, all parts have to function correctly. We are a part of our system. We are the engine. We are the mechanic. We oversee the system. We have the right to vote those in that protect our rights and to vote those out that do not protect our rights. We need to take advantage of that because it is us who are going to lose in the end when we don't stand up for justice. So that's what I like to say in closing, man. I just say that, hey, support my cause, man. Go to AnthonyBelieves.com. I travel over the world. I most of the time spend my time starting my foundation, the Anthony Graves Foundation, which is reaching out to kids who have been affected by the system, i.e. their parents been incarcerated and they've been left invisible. I'm building a foundation to reach out and help guide and develop those children. So I'm actively involved. I want to be part of the solution. And so I'm putting one foot forward, and I'm marching for justice across the board. And I'm just asking that everybody join me.
Hey, man, you are an awesome individual, Anthony Graves, folks, on the show tonight, exoneree out of Texas. Check him out at AnthonyBelieves.com. Shout out to Nicole Calderez again. and also Abraham Bonowitz, Jay Arrington out there in Maryland. Thanks for joining the show tonight, everyone. This is the Just Cause Coast to Coast. Join us each Tuesday evening from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on conservativenationmedia.com. Cliff, take us out.
I want to say thanks to the engineer, K&D Productions, with Dustin Jackson and Captain Kyle and Ill Skillers Girl. We thank the media production team for all your support, and to the truth, we know you're out there. We appreciate it. A Just Cause Coast to Coast. Thank you for joining us. Have a good night.
Good night.